Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good.
Praise God for the fact that He'll forever be mine. Right? Each one of us can say that as believers in Christ, and that's that assurance is words can't express how meaningful they are to us. That Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. We'll always be His. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, for each one that's here, for all the children that are here, for all those that have come today that are seeking you. And I trust, Father, that's each one of us, that as we gather this morning, that we are here to not only worship you, but to hear from you, that our hearts and our minds are focused on you in this way, that each one of us, I pray, will walk away knowing that we have been touched by you. I pray that you will just carry the message to your Holy Spirit, that you would just preach it and do what you want to do with it. And may we know that you're the one that's carrying it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. You know, when I first came to California, God had called me to move here. Okay? And I wrestled with it because it was a heartache. I had to leave my family, my friends, my home state. And three times I went back to Florida trying to end up there, but God said, no, you're not going to end up there, you're going to end up here. And so it was obvious to me that God wanted me to stay in California. But He was also telling me that if you're going to follow me, this is where I want you to be. That really gripped me. That if you're going to follow me, Terry, this is where I want you to be. And so He continued to remind me that I had to let go of all that I know, of all that I love, for Him. That means all the familiarity, my best friends, my family, my dog, everything for Him, if I'm going to follow Him. And so when I came to terms with that, God opened up a door. And I grew in my relationship deeper and richer with Him. You know, when we take those times that we are willing to respond to God in obedience, that sounds like a general statement. But when God calls us to respond to Him on those things that truly are sacrificial, when God calls us to take a hold of and come to terms with what God wants us to do, when God says, I am calling you to sacrifice this way for me, and the price of that means that you will not only follow me, but you will know me that much more. Your life will be that much more enriched as you surrender your life to me. You'll discover the plan and the purpose and the directive that God has for you in your life. And it's obvious that not everybody is called of God to leave their home and their friends and their family and their familiar surroundings for the Lord. Not everybody's called into foreign missions. But we have to be willing to face what God calls us to do. And each one of us at some time or another will be challenged to do that. And we have to weigh it out by saying, Lord, you're more important to me. Not just intellectually, but within my own heart, within your own heart, to say, God, you are absolutely more important to me. The love relationship that we share is more important to me. The security of knowing that I'm in your will, because I fear totally being out of your will. When we come to those terms with God, then God is ready to use us in ways that He prepared us for, the way He's called us to be used. He's created us before the foundation of the world for a specific purpose. But we have to wrestle with God sometimes. We have to wrestle with God to coming to terms with that. And in that wrestling, when we've come and accepted things and have peace in our heart about what God wants to do with us, then we'll find a blessing. So there's nothing wrong with having a wrestling match with God. Because if we pursue and persist through that wrestling match to where we come to a resolve and a peace in our heart about what He's challenging us with, or what He wants to tell us to resolve a situation, whatever that wrestling match is, then we'll have that blessing from God. Last week we read about the bad deal that Esau made with his twin brother Jacob, right? A bad deal of trading his birthright for a bowl of stew. And we know the birthright had a lot of benefits, a lot of authority, a lot of blessings involved with that. But then we also look at another story that we read in Genesis chapter 27 about Jacob cheating Esau out of his father Isaac's blessing, led to Jacob fleeing from Esau's plan to kill him and avenge him. So Jacob and Esau were not on good terms as brothers. Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and Jacob fled. And so I want us to look this morning at Jacob's life years later, maybe about 20 years later. Right? He had married, he had children, he had grown prosperous, so much so that Laban, his father-in-law, resented how much God had blessed him. And so God told him in Genesis 31:3, he says, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you." God, my brother Esau's there. He wants to kill me. God said, "Return." Now, if we're going to follow God, sometimes he's going to challenge us to do those things that are difficult for us and run against grain, that in our own logic doesn't make sense. But also, those things that God requires of us requires an utter trust in him and a surrender to him and what he wants us to do. Well, if we do that, we will know him better. If we do that when he challenges us in that way, we will grow in him. So I want to pick up in Genesis chapter 32, and we want to look at a biblical example of wrestling with God and the benefit of that blessing. So we're going to read from Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. And I have it on a printout here because I can see better. It's in a larger print. Okay, so, "And he arose at night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent them over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank." Has this passage of scripture confused you at times? For me, it's like, you know, asking for the blessing and receiving the blessing. What was the asking? What was the receiving? What was going on? Because just rest, and the thought of wrestling with God and the thought that he didn't prevail against him tells me that God wasn't there to beat him. God was there to encourage him to pursue the wrestling. And so that's what we need to do. So one of the ways that we wrestle with God sometimes can be described this way. Have you ever been woken up at night, in the middle of the night, without any reason, without any prompting of your own, by God? Has God ever woke you up in the middle of the night? Sometimes God has done that. Sometimes I'll wake up and someone's on my heart, just out of the blue. I need to pray for them. Or there's a situation that I've been thinking about that God will simply wake me up and give me clear-cut answers and direction as to what he is telling me in that situation. Sometimes God will take the stillness of the night to speak to us the most bold ways that we can expect, without any distraction, without any confusion, but with clarity. And so God calls us sometimes to hear him at the most strange times, like in the middle of the night. So God woke up Jacob. It was at night. It's before he's going down to his family. He woke up Jacob. And that was an amazing thing because he wrestled with God. That's something that we can't comprehend, isn't it? Wrestling with God. But we can comprehend wrestling over issues. And we can engage with God about those wrestling matches. We can say, God, I'm really struggling with this. We can say, God, I need your help with this. God, I don't have the answer to this. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm anxious. God, I'm upset. God, whatever the case is. But if we pursue that wrestling match, God will reveal himself to us. And not only that, there's a blessing that we can receive in that. And so Jacob wanted a blessing from this man. He didn't know it was God yet. He thought he's thinking in the middle of the night that this man came and started wrestling with him. And that he was, but at some point he found out that the man was God. And so he sought God's blessing. And I think that's an intriguing thing. Okay, God, you're here. You got my attention. Now I want to hear what you want to hear. Or I want you to do what you want to do. I want your blessing on me in this situation because it's not something done in vain. But the question is, what was the blessing about? So I'm going to give you some clues this morning, different type of message again, where you're going to be given clues and kind of like a puzzle last time on Easter Sunday, but not near as complicated, but just a clue and a clue and a clue that might help you understand what the blessing was that God gave Jacob. And so in Genesis 28:13, it says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants." So you got to say, okay, this verse right here, what is the, it's giving a clue to the question, what is the blessing? And I'm not sure that you got that yet, but it's there. So let's go on to Genesis 31:42, just the first part, verse A, 42A. "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you should have sent me away empty-handed." And those two verses, what are the common denominators? What are the common focus, the common denominator? What is the main thing that's in both of those verses will help give you the answer to the clue? Okay? In Genesis 32:9, it says, "Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you." You seeing the common denominator between the three verses yet? Or what's being focused and emphasized on here? One more. Genesis 33:20. And I want you to remember that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So Jacob is Israel. "Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohi Israel." And that means in English, God, the God of Israel. Did anybody get the answer to the question, what the blessing was about? Nobody? The God of. Very good. The God of. You see, these verses reflect the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. But it did not mention that Jacob, that God was the God of Jacob. And that's something that we need to consider here. And so did you notice the common thread of these verses? Okay, and you're fill in the blank. The common thread was the God of Abraham, Isaac. But as a Christian, you could fill your name in there too. We have to come to a place in our walk with God where we identify with the fact that God is our God. That he is our Heavenly Father. That he's not just a God amongst the gods. He's not just someone selected out of a buffet of religion. He is God Almighty, all-powerful, above all, creator of everything. There is no God parallel to him because the truth is any God under him is a man-made God that has no validity. There is only one true God. And so we can fill in the blank and say, the God of, put your name there, Terry Glover. The God, or Jesus is the God of, Tim Smith, whatever. Fill your name in there because that helps us to identify with the fact that we've identified with God as being our God. And so I'm sure that you understand this in the next fill-in, what is missing. Okay? God is the God of Abraham. Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. God is the God of Isaac, Jacob's father. Okay? But it does not say that God is the God of Israel or Jacob. until after he wrestled with God. How many people might you have known, or have you heard of such a scenario that said, well, my great-grandfather was a Christian, my grandfather was a Christian, my father was a Christian, I grew up in a Christian home, therefore I am a Christian also. I've grown up in church, I know the gospel, I am a Christian. The assumption that because our inheritance somehow mandates that we carry the same values and the same relationship with God is not a true thing, is it? The only way that we can have a relationship with God is when that relationship is personal and real. And so up until a certain point, to this point of wrestling with God, Jacob did not know the God of his grandfather and the God of his father. He knew of them. He knew they knew him. He knew the witness of the power of God through their testimony. But he did not know God until he wrestled with him. And so that's what's important here. I believe that there are two ways that a person can wrestle with God. And one is that we can have a personal struggle. I've heard it said that, or I've even heard people share with me the testimony that standing by the pew or sitting behind the pew, and the invitation's given. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead, that he's alive today, know this, that God loves you. Know this, that God wants to come into your life. God wants to be Lord of your life, God of your life. God wants a personal relationship with you. Therefore, if you want to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as an older term that we used to use in churches a long time ago, be born again, then come on up and you can... I've had testimonies where people will just clench the back of the pew. Knuckles are white. They know the call. They know what's happening. God's knocking on their heart, and it's their choice to respond. The part in their heart that's saying, I can't, I won't. No, I'm not holding on, because if I don't let go of this, I'm going to end up going. But really what that's saying is that God has already revealed himself to you. But you have to be willing to accept who he is. And that's part of the wrestling with God. This is called cementing a personal faith in God. And when we cement a personal faith in God, it starts by that first thing, receiving Christ, receiving God into our life, acknowledging that God personally... Acknowledging God personally and receiving him into their life. I changed the them to him when I reread this. So that's the first thing that cements us. I know I'm a Christian. I know I've received Christ in my life. I know that I know him because his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And so that is solidified or cemented in our life. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." We all have seen that picture, I'm assuming, of the door of the house and Jesus standing outside knocking on the door. We have one of those in our office from one of our older, lovely senior ladies, Mildred. And he's knocking on the door, and of course there's no knob on the outside of the door. We have to open up the door from the inside. God saying, I'm not going to demand that I walk in. I'm knocking and calling you out of love and interest in you for you to open up the door and let me in. But here's the thing that's always intrigued me about this particular scripture, and it's always excited me about that too. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, that means not just understanding, but receiving. Taking in what God would have them to do. If anyone hears my voice with that spiritual ear and opens the door, I will come into him and, look, dine with him and he with me. Having friendship, especially in Old Testament times, and it's not uncommon in our lives, to be able to sit down and eat with friends, to be able to dine together, to fellowship together, to enjoy each other's company, it's part of a good friendship. It's part of being family. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Look, let me in your heart. I not only will save you and give you eternal life, but you will become family. We will interact with each other like a family. I will eat with you and you with me. The creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty, God's holy Son, Jesus, his only begotten Son, saying, I want to sit down with you in that casual way where you can relate with me and you know that I am relating with you. And that is exciting because that's spelling out a relationship with God. I believe that when Jacob wrestled with God, that he put his faith in God. And many of us wrestle with God. Wrestling is not bad. Persistence through the wrestling match is key. Giving up on the wrestling match is failure. It's missing out on what God has for you. And nobody, in general, likes to wrestle with that sense of conflict and frustration in your heart because you're not getting the answers, you're not getting the resolve, you're not getting the direction. It's eating you up, and you can't find yourself letting it go because it's not been taken care of yet. Most people don't enjoy that. My son loves wrestling, and he's like a slippery earthworm, and he can wiggle out of any type of, you know, whatever you call that when they get you pinned. And he was very good at that. But we as Christians do face those wrestling times. And so that's the second thing that cements us. It's not just putting our faith in God and knowing that he's real and having that personal relationship with him. It's learning through the wrestling matches that we have in life and how we deal with them that our faith in God becomes more cemented. Tell me not that we don't have times in our life where we're struggling with something. Tell me not that we have things in our life that we need answers to. Tell me not that we have things that are overwhelming us, that consume our thoughts day to day because it's not taken care of yet. How many of us may be tempted to say, oh, forget it? How many of us know that to say, oh, forget it, isn't going to work because it's going to stay in front of us because it's the depth of our heart that's so stirred in that wrestling match that can't be let go of. When God wrestled with Jacob, he could have pinned him instantly and left, right? He did not do that. Instead, what he did was, I'm going to stay here and let you wrestle with me and see if you give up or not. He held on to him and he said, I will not let go until you give me a blessing. I will not let go, God, of you in pursuing you, seeking you, talking to you constantly until you give me the answer, the direction, the comfort, whatever it is I need, and then the issue is over. It's been taken care of. Or I've been assured that it'll be taken care of and I can have peace. I had a situation recently where I was praying so hard and my heart was so burdened. And I was saying, God, and I was talking to him about what I needed him to do. And it was just, I could feel it just grinding in my heart. And then all of a sudden, God gave me the answer, and no lie, just a sense of flooded peace. It just went, whew. He told me what he was going to do, and it just went, whew. That was God affirming that he told me that. And I praise God for that. For what he did. So in our walk with Jesus, when we see circumstances in our life where we're wrestling with him, wrestling with those decisions as I've talked about, that one, it may be that for the unbeliever, you're deciding whether you want to receive him. Keep wrestling with it. If you're a non-believer and you're wrestling with whether to receive God into your life, don't stop wrestling with it until you have resolved it with God. Prayerfully, your resolution will be to receive him. As a Christian, as you face those wrestling matches in your life, do not give up until it's taken care of. So as born-again believers, our faith, that is our relationship, is cemented with God through times of wrestling with him. The benefit of going through the wrestling match as a believer in Christ is that he cements our faith that much more. If we didn't have the challenge, if we didn't have the difficulty, if we didn't have the need to depend on God and continue to rely on him, then our faith would remain small. But it's our choice to pursue him so we can grow in faith. It's only through the heat that we grow. We may have the peak of blessings, but I've found that the valley that God allows me to go down into is the place where God truly unveils himself to me. And so we love the peaks because they're easy. They're the fruit. When we're in the valley, we don't necessarily like it, but if we can say, in this valley, I know that I will meet with God and God will meet with me and touch my heart in a way that will bless me and cement my faith that much more in him. But we must continue to wrestle until we find what God wants us to find. So, just like when I told you in the introduction, coming to California was hard. I was extremely close to my mom, to my, I had a best friend who were like this. Extremely, I loved Florida. Even the humidity. Because after you were drenched in sweat, you could jump in the pool. You know, no big deal. But there were things that I loved, and the familiar things of being home, the heartbreak of being away from home and having to adjust to a whole new environment, a whole new group of people and social environment was hard. But just as I came to terms with it through that wrestling match, God gave me assurance, God gave me peace, and God blessed and I grew. Even though my mom, whenever I talked to her on the phone, she said, when you coming home? And others said the same thing. I said, Mom, you know, I love you and I miss you, but this is where God has me to be. She was not a believer at that time. So she must have been going, I don't know what she thought. But I had to take that stand, and that was very hard to do. And so God will bring wrestling matches with him into our lives. Here's the key. Welcome them as blessings. Don't look at the frustration and the anxiety of the wrestling match you might be facing as something bad. But look at it as something that God is trying to work a blessing in your life. And the more we look to God and surrender to God and yield our hearts to God, God will reveal himself to us that takes care of it. And there's a rich blessing there. And we can praise God for that. Look at Job chapter 42, verse 5. It says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Job was a prosperous man. He had everything going for him. He had a large family. He was rich. He had a good name. He had good health. He had everything. And as we know the story that Satan said, I'll take everything away and here deny you, God. So he wiped out his family in one day, killed them all. He except for his wife who kept railing on him, telling him, curse God and die. His name was taken away. His health was taken away. His wealth was taken away. Everything was taken away. And he came to that conclusion, but now my eyes see you. He was persistent through the wrestling match. And he saw God in a way that he never saw before. What a blessing. When we're going through a divine wrestling match with God, wait for him to reveal himself, his power and his love to you. And doing so, you, like Job, will be touched by God. Jacob was never the same physically or spiritually. Why? One, he knew God now. It wasn't just his father and his grandfather's God. He knew God. Two, his hip was now crippled, and when he walked, it always reminded him of the time that he met with God. And so what happens is this, that not only was he was not the same physically or spiritually, but we too will never be the same when we receive the blessing of being touched by God. Every time we're touched by God, it is a life-changing experience because we've grown to know him in ways that we never thought possible. So Job praised and honored God for what he had done in his life. Genesis 35:3 says, "Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." He's looking at his life. So I remember receiving him, and I remember God carrying me in life. And so we too should acknowledge who God is and honor him publicly. He built this altar publicly, not in the privacy of his house, but publicly. And we should also be a witness to others and those we love to the goodness of God in our lives. When Jacob, who was now called Israel, when he was dying on his deathbed, he was telling his children this in Genesis 48:15. And he blessed Joseph and said, and his other brothers, as you read the text, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day." Here he is, Jacob is telling his sons, "God has been faithful to me. I know him. He's been faithful to me. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. He is God Almighty. He is so many things. I can't think of them all the names of God. I have to get the poster out of my office and read them. A lot of different names of the character of God and who he is." And he was saying to his children before he died, "Know who he is and hold on to who he is." So let me close with this. Psalm 34:8. "Oh, taste and see the Lord, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." The only way we can taste God is by receiving him. The only way we taste God is going through the wrestling match and allowing him to reveal himself to us, those life-changing things in our life. "And blessed is the man who trusts in him." We can only go through it by trusting him. So let's close with prayer and praise God. Father, we do praise you for loving us. You know our hearts, you know our circumstances, you know our life. But you also know the plans and the purpose that you have for us, the love that you have for us. We know, Father, that not anything passes from your eyes, that you know everything that there is to know about us, that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that you know what will best accomplish or fulfill or complete our lives, and that is our life that's surrendered towards you, to you. And so, Father, help us to be that people and to bear witness to you publicly and to bear witness to you to our children and to our families and to our friends. Just like Blake today was saying, "I want to know Jesus." And he literally said this, Lord, and it was such a blessing. "So others can see Jesus that they might come to know him." So praise God for little hearts tender to God. May we as adults with big hearts have that tender heart. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.